bring a, well, just a special message that I prepared for April 1st. It's entitled, The Bible and Its Relative Place in the World and Places Like That. I have always had an opinion in my mind that if a modern Christian, meaning of course one who is left to his own devices, could even with skilled instruction predict with any degree of certainty the ultimate result. Some may question this, but consider it in another light and then observe the outcome. As an example, I once had a good friend who was an acquaintance of mine at the time. My friend realized this and was quick to notice the difference. Later that day, I was driving along the highway when I observed in the distance a man humming a song as he plowed along in the overall scheme of things. Isn't this a better way, I thought, than to deny an outsider a chance to become a stranger like one of us? Think back to your youth. Even then, it was more than it is now and in later years during your lifetime. In the hustle and bustle of modern living, we tend to ignore this. We are pushing our shoulders against the wheel to a more precarious future as science and progress does much more to change a great deal of popular opinions. I recall once at church, a young couple approached me with an obvious desire written on their faces. The natural eagerness and ability to learn were apparent in the curiosity that stood out in anticipation and good faith. As a rule, I do not answer personal questions of this nature outside my office, but I saw at a glance that they had a real problem. I was glad to help, and they've always thanked me for it. Again, a few years previous, a similar event befell a close friend of mine who shall remain nameless since he's on our deacon board. He had written me in a letter some information of extremely delicate nature concerning himself and a person of quite the opposite sex, or as near as he could tell at the time. He needed my help and advice. Many years later, he passed away, and I've always remembered it. These are the little things that make life worth living. It's a sad commentary that we find time enough to bicker, wrangle, and quarrel with anyone who chances to agree, and yet we fail to find a new perspective other than selfish ambitions. Friendship should not be taken lightly. We must remember our impersonal interest in time to forget the real reason for helping others. A great preacher, once after his sermon, remarked to a fellow student, he was sincere, I'm sure, at the time, and not in earnest, so it seemed, to a passerby who, irritated by his manner, seized up a heavy cudgel and dealt the preacher a resounding blow to the skull. This may not be an extreme measure, but we just couldn't be human if we refused some frailty of nature to come to the front. Modern tensions make it difficult to forget people the world over are not the same in a sudden haste to reach an early culmination in life. The greater part of this natural mistrust is due to our consistent association together. Perhaps right now you are saying, it's easy for him to talk and accuse it on the other fellow. Perhaps some may even point the finger of scorn the other way. But don't be so smug unless it happens to you. This is a narrow outlook on a wider plane. When I first started preaching, things appeared different to me due to an early inexperience at the time. Recently, after some serious conjecture, I decided to give it another chance. It was the wisest decision of my entire outlook, and I've blamed myself for it ever since. Who among us can look that far in the past and make a resolution without affectation? Hundreds of people in all walks have contacted me trying to find an easy problem. There is none. It is right in your own backyard and has been there all the time, right under your nose, and not around the world in the first place. Happiness is the same now. How much heartbreak and sorrow could have been saved and passed on to others who deserve it? All those things are an integral part of the Bible and Christianity, as well as the next one. Try not to forget the words of the prophet of old. He had the right outlook, and no truer words were ever spoken, even in jest, but we forget it with easy abandon when the chips are down. We find it more convenient to look backward through it all and so miss a great deal of life and the simple pleasures that naturally result. It doesn't make any logical sense any way you consider it, so why not continue to stumble along with no regard over the protests of other people? Christians often are the chief offenders and rush behind in a muddled scramble to find what can be done to solve it. You must seize the iron while it's hot and strike out before the amends are too late to cross over. Competition won't wait, and the years slip ahead until ideas pass on to someone else who gets there later. You may hear this and then use the excuse that you don't have the time. Take a slip of paper and remember how many times in your life you've listed something to do and then procrastinated. You'll be astonished how the total adds up, although some will scoff and say they knew it all the time. Take hold of yourself and grab opportunity by the forelock before it is captured by someone more alert than awake. Great preachers and such people have written countless words to guide us, and we must take the time to use them as a chart to a fuller life. Why not plan to set aside just 5 minutes a day for meditation along this thought? That's only 28 minutes a week, 109 minutes a month, or 1,706 minutes a year. This amounts to nearly 80 hours that could have been spent for improvement and advancement. Is it too much to sacrifice away from selfish desires? I don't think so. And you won't doubt it either if you apply it to everyday life in general. The strains and stresses of modern living have broken many a resolution, and it takes time to mend the broken splinters of fractured dreams. The poet aptly put it when he said, "Hope springs infernal in the savage beast." Recently, a woman called complaining that she couldn't get a refrigerator door open. This was a real problem for her, but a challenge to me. I took the time to call on her, trying to compress her dilemma. After only a few hours, I noticed her refrigerator was facing the wall. How many of us have the same problem and never notice it? How many of us have the refrigerator of happiness turned against the wall of life? Little wonder we are starved for the simple food of joy, contentment, and success. I'd like to close with a poem, a favorite of mine, which does more than words to illustrate my meaning. Broken bottles and cardboard trees fall to some. To others, softly oceans spray a salty fog. And those who look may see again a hope be born. Deny a day and night drips off to slumber bent, and years ago the ages went, so stand alone and face defeat to prove a universe unseated. Thank you. Thank you very much. And happy April Fools. All right. We'll ask our ushers to come. Thank you for that charming support on the organ. Let's bow forward a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, and we know...